Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Sorry for the no sound start. It seems that Odyssey is back to its bad habits. Hopefully they will find a fix for this. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Go Away says, can someone explain to me how cutting off natural gas supplies in the middle of the hottest summer on record is supposed to make a difference? Oh my poor innocent person, Go Away, you don't understand what is going on. It's a very important shut off, simply because the industry of Germany is dependent on gas. We're not even talking about heat here, and there will be problems with heating. There will be a general problem for Germany with energy, on top of the fact that winter will come. And please understand that a lot of the flow of gas first isn't meant for heating, it's meant for industrial production. And also that people stack energy in the summer so that they can burn it in the winter. If you don't have this moment of the summer where there's low actual demand for, say, heating oil, and what you're going to have is everyone will arrive at the fall, all of people's tanks will be empty, and they will all go to get some heating oil as the winter begins. And this will disrupt the chains of production further. But here, for now, what we're talking about is natural gas, and the deliveries of natural gas from Russia to Germany are necessary to the industry of Germany. That's why Germany produces much things in Europe. It's the most productive country. It's reliant on a high energy input from Russia. So that's what's happening. Callum Oxworth says, I know it's bad pop sci trope, but I actually think nuclear fission power plants are around the corner. Seems more possible with advancements in AI. It's something the West should be pumping money into. Well, I would love to see it happen. But we haven't seen anything of the kind up to now. Up to now, it's all dreams, and it doesn't realize itself into anything. Tonight is a double program. We will have our Patreon hangout, Subscribestar-ing out, right after this regular show. So we'll do a short show. And then I will leave to take a break, and then I'll be back for the private show. For those of you who want to join, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level, and the link will be available in those platforms right after this regular show. A word about the Brian Laundrie's parents. I've answered the lawsuit against them, so the parents of Gabby Petito are suing the parents of of Brian Laundrie on the thinking that somehow their actions have caused emotional distress in them, so intentional infliction of emotional distress. Their whole case lies on a basis that somehow the parents of Brian Laundrie didn't do a good job as parents, that they hid and they have hidden information that was that would have been useful to them, the parents of Gabby Petito, and to the police, and that they basically blocked the parents of Gabby Petito on their phone, and that has induced emotional distress as they were learning that that Gabby Petito was murdered by Brian Laundrie. As we will remember, a man whose killing instinct depends on perceptions of temperatures, apparently. So, according to his own journal, he would have killed Gabby Petito because she was too cold. She was shivering, shaking, and he put an end to her suffering. Mark says the environmentalists are not happy with even nuclear trying to shut everything down. Oh, it's disgusting what's being done, because you have you know that it's the only solution to global warming. If you want to get into, okay, I believe that burning fossil fuels causes global warming. Then nuclear would be the solution. Nuclear does not produce much emissions other than, you know, transporting the fuel and all. The principle itself is very clean, and yet you have the environmentalists complaining against it. Such a missed opportunity. So as far as the parents of Brian Laundrie, they are basically answering to the complaint. And unfortunately, I don't have the PDF of the complaint because this YouTuber right here is ordering it for himself, not giving the links. I think it's very bad practice. You get legal documents, you show them to people, you give a link in the description to people. I find this annoying when they keep it for themselves because they want exclusivity and they want more views. Very bad ethical practice here, but who's surprised? We're talking about a liar. So their answer is basically they deny everything and they deny that they owe anything to the parents of Gabby Petito. They remind the parents of Gabby Petito that it is not them who has killed their daughter. It is their son who did it. And it's a third party. And they were not aware that this was going on. And the parents of Gabby Petito have went in the media in the last few weeks and suggested that somehow there was an improper raising of Brian Laundrie. Look, sometimes your child becomes a murderer and it's not your fault. And I'm personally pretty annoyed at these third-party lawsuits. When the criminal dies, you don't suddenly transmit his guilt to his close loved ones. It's nonsense. I think we should stop this. I think there should be measures to stop the birth of all these lawsuits that are evidently targeted at the wrong person. Evidently, what the parents of Gabby Petito are pissed at is Brian Laundrie. And Brian Laundrie doesn't have a dime. But that's what happens when you marry your daughter or you pair your daughter with a vegan yoga session having weak man. There's not going to be an estate to sue when he kills her. Sorry. UK halts all flights at largest Royal Air Force base because the runway has melted. This was in the news today. I do not know why. It seems that the UK has had its hottest days since ever, for all of history. And they have been complaining that the runway on which the airplanes are landing was bumpy and kind of, they say melting. I think it's just that there were bumps created by the heat, which is expected because when you reach a point of heat that you've never reached before, that's where the length of every grain of asphalt is at its longest. And so every grain of asphalt is pushing against the other. And of course, with the length effect of heat, you end up having cracks, you end up having forces that the medium has not been handling before. So that will challenge the medium, challenge the surface in ways that it wasn't challenged before. So melting, I think, is not the correct word, but it's probably being pushed by the environmentalists because people want a word that people will associate with heat and global warming. So they have concluded that the runway has melted. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, you can use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to support the show. It's the right way to help the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. Entropy, the link to it is in the description below. DK Shadow says, the roads are melting. Yes, they're not. Go because what is the liquid temperature of asphalt, really? You would have to be at 3,000 degrees, maybe, something like this, on this order of magnitude. It's not like a degree or two of more heat in the summer that will reach the melting point. Go away, says Jeff. Is European heat really that much worse due to humidity? I find it hard to believe. I live on the east coast of Australia, where it is very humid in the summer, with regular 35, 40 degree days in the summer. There are different types of factors in climate that influence the feeling of heat and humidity. And yes, humidity is a harsh problem for Europe, and when it's associated with heat, it is painful. That being said, keep in mind that I think there's something in the climate. I'm not sure here, I'm speculating. I think there is something about coastal climates where th that depend a lot on the general carrying of winds. And somehow I have the impression that people who are on a coast where the wind blows toward the ocean are not faced with the same thing as when the wind blows from the ocean to the earth. And I think on coast you have phenomena like whether the air is stagnant, whether the air is highly circulating. It's a place of extreme in terms of winds, in terms of hurricanes, for example. And so I think all these factors need to be taken in consideration when, and I think they've been to a certain extent because they made indexes like, I don't know the name of it, but there's an index that talks about perceived temperature and perceived humidity. And I think that's a reflection that there's something more to it than just the arbitrary number of temperature and the precise number of humidity. I think there are some airs that are pleasant, and if you have high winds and the winds are blowing toward the ocean, I feel like you're going to get less of a humidity feeling, perhaps, and a better refreshing air. Mark says, JF, how close are we to a hot war between NATO and Russia in your view? I don't think we're very close because it seems that the situation has relatively stabilized, and I don't see any interest for the US to be pissing off Russia, and I don't see any interest for Russia to be pissing off the US. So I think we're seeing kind of a settling down and a kind of acceptation. Of course, you're always going to have the explicit denials. You're always going to have the US say, we do not recognize Russia power over Crimea, over Eastern Ukraine. But that's just because they want to keep the right to eventually strike Russia. But I don't see them planning and establishing for a hot war right now. We barely can survive on our own. I mean, have you seen the inflation? We have so much problems internally, both Western Europe and the US. I just don't see it happening that in those conditions, a war that of which the outcome is uncertain and that could lead to nuclear strikes on the soil of the US, I don't think anyone has an interest to start this. So let's have a look precisely at these news. Germany's energy crisis about to get even worse as the Rhine water level plummets. What has already been a year from hell for Germany, which is suffering energy hyperinflation as a result of Europe's sanctions on Russia, and which is facing the biggest crisis the country has ever had, according to the president of the German Employers Association, is about to get even worse as the declining water level of the Rhine River, which has historically been a key infrastructure for transit across Germany, continues to fall As it does, the flow of commodities to inland Europe is starting to buckle, threatening to make an already historic crisis even worse. So you're going to have low water levels, making it hard for Germany to transport within Germany at low cost and toward France and Switzerland. You're going to have Gazprom declares force majeure will halt gas flows to Germany indefinitely. So they have retroactively activated a clause for force majeure, which force majeure is a term, is a French term that simply means an event totally out of your control and totally overwhelming your capacity to deliver on a contract. Now, of course, whenever someone claims, so they were tied to a contract with Germany. Now, for now, the force majeure claim is unilateral. For now, it's Russia saying, look, we've been facing so much difficulty, we cannot deliver based on our contract. And the force majeure that is invoked is not a natural event, because in natural event, it's pretty clear that it's a force majeure. But in this case, it is Russia is saying we are faced with Canada refusing to deliver important parts that we need to maintain and take care of the pipeline and of our transportation systems, and that makes us unable to operate the pipeline. I think it's a great argument, because at the same time it puts pressure on Germany to say, well, maybe you want to talk to your Canadian friend here, you know, how these countries are always together. Perhaps it's time for Germany to go see the US, see Canada, and say, look, the sanctions are keeping us from receiving gas now from Russia. And so I think it's a perfect move by Vladimir Putin and Gazprom. And it's probably true also. I mean, they seem to be very serious about, well, we are lacking these turbines now because Canada doesn't want to deliver it to us. So this is force majeure. It's totally out of our control. Now, of course, on the side of Germany, they're denying that it's a valid force majeure. But in a contract between two countries, what does it change? You're going to deny? What are your recourses? You're going to get in court. A court will find something, maybe International Commerce Court or something like this. They will find a bunch of conclusion that will be unenforceable. So there's nothing they can do, really. And Europe is about to be squeezed at their capacity to handle a major coming energy crisis, because what we've seen up to now is not even the end of it. Oddly Enough News says, another casual insight from JF that has profound implications, that objective measurements like F or C are subjective and contextual. Some people really don't appreciate these things, and I'm happy that you are liking it. It's amazing, the and Millennial Woes has talked about a show I did 2 or 3 days ago where I commented on Jordan Peterson and Muslims. Millennial Woes posted it on his Telegram channel, and I was looking at the comments of his audience toward my show, and they were like, "Ah, JF, you know, I kind of liked him, but eventually he ended up saying all these things about God, and he doesn't know what he's talking about." And similarly, I hear a lot that my position on subjectivism is really disliked in the right wing. My position on God and my position on subjectivism are really challenging for right-wing audiences. And it's okay. It's okay. I find this funny personally, because I never heard a single argument against it. That, yes, you know, ultimately all the truths that you have in your head are all in your head. All of the mathematics that you think are true, it's just because of the axioms in your head and the axioms you accept, and there's a bunch of axioms you haven't accepted, and if you were to accept those instead of those, you would end up with different conclusions. And yes, there is an objective world out there in the sense that there are objects that we can view as third parties, but ultimately the fact that the universe is stable enough to allow two subjects to agree that a third object exists, that is all we'll ever know. That basically we are just agreeing. We're agreeing to see the same table. We are content if I tell you there's a white table in front of me. You can check, you will see it. But each of these exchanges and agreements have relied ultimately on subjective processing of the world. And there is no such thing as accessing the objective world. We are merely stuck in loops of convincing ourselves that our subjectivity represents the objective world properly. Now, the reason people are triggered by these points is that most people who would say these things, they then go further and they then go into idealism and my mind exists before anything else, and you know, the world out there doesn't even exist. And even some will just bring it to pure leftism and pure cultural Marxism and a rejection of any sort of structure. Personally, and you know, it leads to a lot of loose thinkers will immediately grab the subjectivism branch and hang to it, because for them it's necessary. For me, it's just a regular fact of the world, and it doesn't lead me then to want this subjective exchange with other agents to be disorganized and unstructured. In fact, to the contrary, my subjectivity, my subjective moral preferences are such that I like structure. And the upside of subjectivism is that you can choose structure, you can choose beliefs, and you can choose ways of interacting empirically with the world. Now, this is unacceptable to someone like Stefan Molyneux, because they want their truth to be grounded in something else than themselves. But it's not. So you're just deceiving yourself. North Dakota expects many more refugees as White House recommits to resettlement. Democratic President Joe Biden set a goal in May to admit 125,000 refugees into the U.S. next fiscal year, up from a historically low cap of 15,000 set by former Republican President Donald Trump, who often said refugees could pose danger to American citizens. North Dakota will likely take in between 250 and 450 refugees. This is a shame that the federal government has so much power on the immigration question, because it ends up imposing a lifestyle to states that they don't necessarily want. You know, even if the state has a say on how many refugees they can welcome, the federal government will just bring many more refugees, and eventually they will dilute toward across the US, and some of them will get green cards and will eventually be able to get to any state they want. DK Shadow says, I don't even think Steph Butt believes what he's selling at this point. Well, that is a sad suggestion, but it could be. Carlo Marxworth says, taxicab geometry veterans remember. Oh yeah. Boy, do you even taxicab geometry? LGBT propaganda facing complete ban in Russia. A new bill compares the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations with war propaganda and inciting national, racial, or religious hatred. The promotion of LGBT relations could be permanently banned in Russia under a bill introduced to the State Duma on Monday, which likens such messaging to war propaganda and incitement of hatred. Currently, LGBT propaganda in Russia is only banned when directed at children, but some politicians have been calling for harsher restrictions and punishment for the denial of family values and propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations. That's great. I think it's great that certain countries decide, all right, we have certain forms of activism are just hurtful, they are harmful to the nation and the individuals, and so we will protect individuals from it. I think it's great. Now, I don't know why is Russia among the highest divorce rate nations in the world. If they do that much efforts, I mean, they're doing better on propaganda control than the US can ever do because of the First Amendment. How is it that they end up with such a high divorce rate? That is it. That is actually a mystery to me. If someone on the chat has a hypothesis, why, given that Russia is kind of shelled from Western influences to a certain extent, given that, you know, LGBT activism doesn't penetrate that country as quickly as it does the US, why is the divorce rate so high? Is it feminism, a Russian form of feminism playing out? Dino Legovic says financial pressures. And Hermit Pineapple Platypotamus says because the deep state is global. Really? Like the American deep state is so powerful that it can lead Russian women to break marriages? That's a long shot. All right, well, it doesn't seem like any hypothesis that would satisfy me. Hermit Ham says dysfunctional family life. Yeah, but I mean, dysfunctional family life is the default, the evolutionary default for humanity, isn't it? Why does it lead to divorce? That's the question. In Russia. Silver Spider says, Mark, I still watch him. I asked JF a while ago, and that's basically what he says. And this was about who? Stefan Molyneux. Stefan Molyneux doesn't want to team up anymore. It's so sad. You know, it's so sad that Stefan Molyneux never read the Revolutionary Phenotype. It's like, it's an easy one. I can send him a free copy. He should be interested in this. For him, who's been covering so much stuff about evolution, don't you want to know something really nice about evolution, Steph? It doesn't seem like he wants to. And Brett Weinstein, we're still waiting for him to read the book. Am I going to be sitting here in 20 years from now and just still waiting for people to read the Revolutionary Phenotype? Anyways, tonight on the Patreon Hangout, it seems that Fish Ballista is on fire. I know what kind of argument he's planning. He wants to come and attack TRP. His argument is, he has kind of reformulated my whole theory into a selectionless model of per printing. So basically he wants to say, you know what, since replicators cause mutations, ultimately the genes that you have are actions of the printer, and therefore you can understand the whole of life as the printer. You can understand the DNA replicas as being the gene, the only gene that's selfish and that has evolved. And because genes print other genes, like the DNA replicas, and because all that matters to them is basically the organism that they sculpt with this, then understanding yourself as a reproductive, replicating entity is superfluous. We can rather think of everything that the trickster, everything that the printer does is what matters to me, because that includes both your genes and other things. And Fish Battista wants to argue that therefore we should welcome the phenotypic revolution. We should accept that the revolutionary phenotype will be a product of our DNA printer. I don't know how I will react. I will let him do his case at the private show. He's been flirting with that kind of argument before, so it will depend on how he phrases it and how I will approach it, but it's going to be quite a stare of a private Patreoning out tonight, let me tell you. Gender activists urge anthropologists to stop labeling human remains male or female. Okay, so now they want that when you find a fossil, you don't assume how they identified, because who knows, perhaps they were not feeling comfortable with the sex assigned by nature at birth. It's like, yeah, it's pretty clear that this is a male cranium and this is a female cranium. It really doesn't matter how the person felt. For the purposes of archaeology and basically for all other purposes, we are satisfied with labeling them the kind of sexual organs they had. And there was probably not much trans surgery back then. So it's probably the case that if they had a female cranium, they also had a female uterus. Biden's economic approval rating lower than Trump's worse, according to a poll. President Joe Biden's approval ratings have hit the lowest levels of his presidency, falling further than that of predecessors Barack Obama and Donald Trump. Joe Biden is in a very bad position. It is extremely low. People are extremely alarmed at the inflation and the state of the economy. People know that the economy has been wrecked by the Democrats. And they will be, hopefully, they will be keeping that rage going up to the voting booth. Because if he's lower than Donald Trump ever was, hopefully this can convert into a massive Republican victory in the midterms. Go away, says JF. Do dolphins have gender identity, or is it a human phenomenon? These things are so poorly defined. What would be a dolphin gender identity? I mean, they probably have some kind of feelings about everything. So they probably have feelings about having sex. Are some of these brains connected in a way as to give them inverted or incongruent feelings? Maybe. It doesn't matter. The dolphins that survive, they have a penis or a vagina and they put it to good use. Silver Spider says, Jeff, it's pretty clear the one on the left was a pansexual and the one on the right was trans species. You can see that from craniums. This would be a pansexual and this would be a trans species. Okay. Acting police chief during Uvalde school shooting placed on a leave after a report details systemic failures. Yes, so the chief of the police, of course, becomes the scapegoat. They needed a scapegoat anyway. And yes, mis-evaluation of Am I against a shooter or am I against a barricaded subject? Justice Breyer to teach at Harvard Law School after leaving SCOTUS bench. Breyer's retirement allowed Biden to nominate Ketanji Brown Jackson. So the guy who got replaced by Ketanji Brown Jackson will be a Harvard professor. All right. China angrily demands U.S. cancel the fifth proposed arms package to Taiwan. The proposed sale will contribute, it's a 108 million proposed package. The proposed sale will contribute to the sustainment of the recipient's vehicles, small arms, combat weapon systems, and logistical support items, enhancing its ability to meet current and future threats. In response, China's state-run Global Times complained that the figure of 108 million is an unreasonably high price for just spare parts and intangible technical assistance. And it is obvious that the U.S. arms firms are again leeching on Taiwan for its money. The U.S. arms sale to China's Taiwan region seriously violate the One China principle and the stipulations of the three China-U.S. joint communiques, especially the August 17 communique of 1982. The sales gravely undermine China's sovereignty and security interest and severely harm China-U.S. relations and peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. China firmly opposes and strongly condemns this. We have made serious demarches to the U.S. side over this. And that's another reason why I don't believe that a hot war with Russia is close to happening. It's that there are other forces at play that would benefit from a weakened US, and if the US starts focusing on Russia, they might very well find themselves with a problem on the China side to be handled. Ariel Suarez says, Tyler Durden must be happy that you're citing his articles so much. Yeah, I mean, to me, Zero Hedge is some of the best written, quick, accessible news media in the entire internet. So very much respect for them. And as I often say, it's not the only place I look for. But systematically, every day, basically, there's always a better coverage than elsewhere of the things I truly care about. Because I go on Fox News, I'm not going to get this kind of analysis. I go on CNN, I'm not. So I do go on CNN and Fox News to gather a particular view being pushed toward the normies. But I know that Zero Hedge will have the goods and will be better. Because just try to find on Fox News the article that talks about this. You're going to find it somewhere, maybe. But it's going to be all dumbed down for the normie. And it's going to be given this kind of center-right, Republican kind of, although not even Republican anymore, Fox News style of commentary. Mark says, JF goes to CNN, so we won't have to. Yeah, whenever I go to CNN, it's not for primary news, but it's to what are the leftists up to? You know, I want to see their coverage. And finally, as a last news item before we jump to our private hangout, Zelensky fires spy chief for Russian infiltration in biggest internal purge since the war began. Zelensky abruptly fired his spy chief, who runs the powerful domestic security agency, the SBU. I think it's an excuse that they use at all sources, this idea of Russian spies or Russian sympathetic. Basically, they just fire people they don't like, and because they're a crazy country at war, in the whole martial law mood, if you're not with us, you're against us. And so they end up always labeling them as traitors and Russian infiltrators. So that is it for tonight, boys. It was a short show, but I do have to prepare for the Patreon hangout, and I want to rest my voice. Rest my voice for 20 minutes so that we can start around 9 p.m. Eastern time. Papi Chulo says, testing Odyssey name, love you if. Well, we love you, Papi Chulo. I don't know what this name mean. Bizarre name, Papi Chulo. In any case, if you'd like to join the private convo, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. And also, we have a big week ahead of us. We have an interview on Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. on Davinsky TV. Then I have the Sticks debate on Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Sticks debate on abortion. So it's going to be a week where I have to wake up early. So see you all in the private show. Bye bye. Thank you.